This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 619, Corgi Vision. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Bops to Dorbs, Rides to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth. And everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medro. Stay with me, I have Toasty. How you do, Toasty?
I'm a bit broker than I started the day.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
We'll talk about it later.
All right, then. And we also have Allie. Hey, Allie.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Your second episode. You're now a veteran. Congratulations.
Yay, I think.
Well, do you feel it's a yay thing, or is it a thing?
I've been super excited about it, like, all day. You know, it's Monday at work. No one wants to work on Monday. But all day, I was like, I get to record tonight. It's going to be awesome. And it made the day longer, but shorter all at the same time. I don't know how, but it did.
Awesome. Well, how was your weekend? WoW?
It was pretty good. I usually raid on Sundays. Unfortunately, so we're going through heroic and we killed, like, we one-shotted Fetid. We were really excited about it. And then my internet decided to die. Completely. Ugh. Like, we reset it, we unplugged and replugged it in, we called our tech, like, we have done it, we did everything, it just died for the rest of raid.
Oh, rip.
And I'm one of our main healers.
Oh. So actually rip.
Yeah, actually rip. There was lots of ripping, apparently. They went on to heroic Sekhvaz and wiped the rest of the raid to it. So, but thankfully, it came back because at that moment, it looked like I wasn't going to be able to get anyone out at a time we could be here for it until Tuesday, which would have meant I would have missed tonight. But we got it back, and all is right with the world, so that's good. They, you know, aren't happy about the repair bill, but whatever.
Repair bills getting us in real life and in WoW.
Right? Jeez. Seriously, gosh. But other than that, I've been leveling my little dwarf Pally, my dark iron dwarf, and she's 37 now.
You mean you're also leveling a dark iron paladin? Yes.
We talked about this last week. I'm 37 now. What is your Pally at?
Not as high as I would like it to be.
Okay, just then. Well, you should take advantage of the 14th anniversary celebration buff thingy.
I intend on taking advantage of it tomorrow night.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that later, though. But yeah, so it's been pretty good. Did all the Burning Crusade time walking stuff and got no mount. So last week we talked about the possibility of supposedly you have good luck with mount runs if you listen to All Things Azeroth while you do them.
Right. History has said that was the case.
Supposedly. Not for me. Or maybe it's because I was listening to episodes 1 and 2.
Oh, like really? So sorry.
I have so many things.
So you listen to those and you still... Oh, that's painful. I'm sorry.
It was a little painful, actually. I didn't get a single mount I was trying to go for.
Ouch.
So that luck apparently does not work for me. But maybe... it was fun to kind of giggle at those first episodes. Yes.
Maybe it was because you were a legitimate host of the show now, instead of just guest hosts.
Work for me. See, I thought it was just because those first episodes were a little rough, and yeah,
maybe. I mean, there are a variety of reasons that could have happened. We'll just have to wait until next TBC time walking to find out.
That's true. I mean, Rose pointing out that I shouldn't expect to get a chance to actually get the mount. I didn't at all.
You were just testing the theory.
There's only so many times I can run invincible. They have to give it to me eventually. Gosh.
I would recommend listening to the Shade era because there's lots of punching ponies in that era, and there's lots to learn from the rules that Rose outlining here.
Oh, don't worry. See, now that I'm officially in the show, like, I have this plan to basically research the history a little better than I have in the past, you know, with the podcaster hat on, and see where I can, you know, just make mental notes of when to give Metros a hard time for things, you know, that kind of thing. So,
okay. Be good. I need to say something here, and please do understand where this is coming from. I take back my sorry. Uh-huh. Now that I know the purpose of this research, I take back my sorry.
I'll probably learn how to be a better co-host. It was actually funny in your episode 2, like it was a additional segment to it or something. You actually were talking about a co-host, needing a co-host and asking for one that raids. And here I am. I'm another co-host and I raid. So I'm fulfilling that now. And
there you go.
I see.
I'm done talking about my week now.
All right. How about you, Toasty?
Well, I just want to point out that the raiding co-host used to be me until BFA. Feels bad, man. I miss raiding sometimes.
You can come back.
I can. It's hard finding the time to do that now, honestly. I've got a lot going on lately. Plus, I gotta be a responsible adult. What? There was a raider in All Things Azeroth like a few months ago, Ro.
There's still two raiders. You're raiding real life right now, and you will eventually come back. This is only the first, you know, tier of raiding. You still have
time. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we're good.
Ro, nobody wants to hear me sing.
No, it makes his heart sing.
That will just end badly. Oh, okay.
Maybe no, Ro needs please, to come on please, and sing. No.
So, my week in WoW was not as busy as I would have liked it to be. We had at work, we had a bunch of our out of town teammates visiting all week. So a lot of my evenings were taken up with quote unquote team building, which was like going to a spa, escape rooms, and dinner.
Stupid spa. Was the spa amazing and all you wanted it to be and more?
It was so good. Oh my God. I didn't think I would enjoy it because like the whole thing of the spa, it's like a Nordic spa. So you dunk yourself into the hot water and then splash around in a cold pool.
Is that the one that I keep seeing ads for on the sides of buses? Like
probably, yeah.
It's like a Swedish name.
Thermia.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean it was really relaxing, so fully endorsed that. But the time I did manage to find to play WoW, I was grinding out world quests because I'm trying to work my way over to Exalted. I leveled my paladin a little bit, but not a lot. I think I got it to level 24.
You're getting there.
Yeah. I'm hoping to make more genuine progress this week. Might even just stream that. So I don't know yet. I probably will. Maybe.
Do it.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll tweet it out tomorrow night. That was it. Felt like a lot more, but I think that's mostly because I was dog tired by the time I got home to play. That viewing world quests and all the other rep grindy stuff just felt like a lot more. But hey, I still had fun with it, so that's all that matters. Didn't really touch the Warfront too much. Like, I did the world boss for chance of more loot, because loot is always good. But I haven't done any of the quests yet, just because, like, I don't really need war resources right now. I mean, yeah, I'll get Azerite stuff, but that's what island expeditions are for.
I love island expeditions. I missed them last week because I just was a little too busy with something I was working on, and I was so sad. It didn't feel right.
Yeah, you didn't get your weekly talk with Flynn?
No, and he's my boyfriend, and wow, I missed him.
Well, Flynn's great.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my week. What about you, Medros? What did you get up to in WoW?
I got my Demon Hunter, his second 370 piece from the is it Doom Howl, the Horde siege weapon in Arathi Highlands. Did that, got another 370 piece of Azurite gear from that. Did a lot of getting the daily trivia question on every tune I have. So slowly building up some XP and some rep on those characters. Just did mostly just basic stuff. Keep it up on emissary quests and stuff. Yeah, just try to make sure that I can get as much done as I can each day. And I'm really close to Exalted with Champions of Azeroth. And then it's basically focusing on Tertolan after that. And waiting for 8-1 to come out with the Paragon wraps. Yeah, fought the Nightmare Dragons and Kazakh and Zeragos a fair bit. Reminded me a great deal of Classic WoW and how much I hated those.
I was going to say, I've been hearing a lot of people actually complain about them because they are incredibly challenging. Do you feel like they're more... Did you do them last year? And do you feel like they're more challenging this year?
Did not do them last year, so I really can't speak to that. I do feel they are more challenging than I would have probably expected them to be. I was kind of figuring they'd be closer to their original level when I first went out to do them. My hunter, who I've been doing them on every day that I can, he has died a fair bit. It's not pretty.
So do those bosses, are those bosses one of the scaling bosses, or is it just max level?
As far as I can tell, they are a world boss for 120. A 112 hitting, trying to go against those things does not last very long. I got squished pretty good.
Right.
At this point, Kazakh, I'm pretty good with just staying ranged, but all the dragons, I stay in the air until they are almost dead.
Slacker. That's cheating.
On a sub-120 character, though?
I am definitely cheating. I would like to save my gold and not die in one hit. When, even in the air, my hunter is taking damage when a mushroom spawns too close to me, I will totally cheat my way to getting 32 gold, 1,000 XP, and the quest completion.
I talked about this a little before the show. Anybody else find it funny that Kazakh gives a neck piece, considering that this is meant for 120s?
Yeah, that feels kind of silly.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, maybe you can scrap it. I don't know if you can scrap. I don't know if you can scrap these things. But hey, that neck piece vendors for a whole 2 gold.
Gold is gold.
Yeah. Man. So if you get that, I mean, you got 2 gold.
Yeah. See, the problem with the items that are coming off of those bosses, if you are not 120, you are getting basically boosted versions of their old drops that are slightly better. Like, I had a 210 cloak and I got a 214 off of the Nightmare Dragon.
Oh, so if you're sub 120, you do get gear. Okay, that's...
Yes. It was a green dragon scale cloak, which I don't really need reduction in danger damage. I'm sure it doesn't hurt, though. It was interesting to get some gear. I got a piece a couple of days ago, and I got one again today. I don't remember what I got today, though. Might have been a ring. And it's nice to get small upgrades here and there, but I'm not getting a significant boost to what I have.
I don't think these bosses were intended to as a method of getting great upgrades.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the transmog, really.
Yeah.
You can use bonus tokens when you're fighting them, when you're rolling for loot. I would strongly recommend against them unless you are a very fresh 120, because the gear they give is only 350, and it's not so great.
Well, the thing about that, too, is, and maybe this is just me, but those reroll tokens, this expansion, feel more expensive than last expansion.
They are absolutely more expensive, yeah.
I mean, unless you're not really raiding and you're not super active in LFR and you're not going to spend on anything else, I personally would have a hard time spending reroll tokens on those.
Yeah.
But for some, it's all about the transmog, so that makes sense.
Because, I mean, like, what? It's 2,000 for the first one, 5,000 for the second one, and that's all you can get.
Yeah, you can't even get three. And I know, like, I'm having gold issues this expansion, and in part, it's because of those.
I think everybody's having gold issues. Anybody who's raiding, definitely, is having gold issues this expansion, because everything is so expensive. Like, when I first went into LFR, I'm like, you know what? Just because I can, I'm gonna go into this LFR with proper stuff. I'm gonna get a flask, I'm gonna get some pots, it'll be great. Wow. And then I looked at the price, and then I decided I wasn't gonna do that.
Nope.
Because, oh my god, that's expensive. Like, even before I was, like, raiding for LFR, I would still do all that.
The price of flasks should be going down next patch, yeah. I think. Because part of it is that those flasks take a ton of Anchorweed. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yep. The spawn rate of Anchorweed and how much those take. As a guild leader who is farming that for our flask maker, it's a lot. Yep. So my hope, because they're decreasing the amount required, so my hope is that those prices will actually start going down next patch.
I mean, I would hope so. That would make sense, but people want to make gold too, right? And right now, people are still buying them.
Yeah, see, my problem is I think the bonus roll tokens, I think you can only have three at a time. Oh, five, but you can only get two a week, right?
Yeah.
So going as three bosses 7 days a week, you know, it's there's no way you're going to queue up with it, and it's just not worth it for that. I will keep mine for... the boss out in the warfront, and for my weekly world boss in the world. So that's the better use of my tokens each week, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because, you know, you can end up with higher than 350 a year with those. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, overall, didn't do much other than that. We will talk in a short moment about one of the best things discovered this week. First, let's talk about our first sponsor. So our new sponsor is the Grade 12 folks over at Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes of Diablo, and even more from outside of the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Star Wars, and Doctor Who. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and one of the Funko Pops that I've seen on the Funko store this week is in their holiday collection. Some may say it's a defilement of this character, but I think it just, you know... Listen up a little bit. It is Holiday R2-D2. I can't really describe it, so I'll just show you, because it's something.
It's R2-D Druid.
Allie, I'm glad to hear that you need this in your life, because it's just $10 on the store. Plus, if you use the code SHOP10, you'll save 10%, so you only get it for $9. It's a really great deal. They do have lots of other ones, and we'll highlight those over the next little while. Various characters from various universes in a holiday theme. So definitely want to check that out. If you need R2-D Druid, then definitely go and check out the Funko shop. If you want to check out this Funko or any of the others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use SHOP10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use SHOP10 to save 10%. And I want to thank Funko for their support of the show.
Druid travel form, jeez.
Apparently.
Droid travel form, sorry.
You know, I'm hating myself for what I'm about to say, but maybe that's the mechanome travel form for a druid. And that said, let us move on to what's coming up this week, because we're not going any further down that road. Allie, what's up this week?
Beyond Frazzly just exploding in chat right now. So this week in WoW, we are continuing the World of Warcraft 14th anniversary from the 16th through the 30th. Now, this is a great time to take advantage of so many things. We have the Celebration Buff Token Doohickey. That's a technical term. That gives you the 14% buff to XP and rep gains. So use that, and you can just keep using it. Don't forget to keep using it. You can go answer lore questions and get some XP for the tunes you're leveling. And most important to me, you can restock up on your Murloc wands. And then when you're raiding, turn your whole raid into Murlocs, and it's amazing. as well as all the bosses and stuff we were talking about and everything.
Don't forget Thunder Fury.
Oh yeah, you could do Thunder Fury. You can do the I think it's Defias Brotherhood outfit and stuff. There's some other wands. I think there's a Null wand. There's something else I'm forgetting. I'm all about the Murloc wands. I bought a whole bag of them. That's all I care about. So the Pilgrim's Bounty from the 19th to the 26th, which is you can go to the main cities and do the food and feasts and stuff. And so here's the trick. When you do that, you get a boost to your reputation. That actually is being reported to have been stacking with the 14th anniversary buff as well. So for your rep gains, especially if you're still going for the first part of Pathfinder and just general reps, it is a great way to work on your reps. So until the 30th, take advantage of it. It's good times. We also have the Arena Skirmish from the 20th to the 26th.
I wonder how that's going to work with heirloom gear, because I remember at one point they were normalizing that stacking effect between heirloom gear and all these other bonus XP stuff, so that it wasn't so ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to look it up before the show, and the only thing I saw about that was someone asking that question.
Time to experiment a little bit. I think I'm going to make my way to Ironforge on my paladin.
Go find that out for us, and then we'll report back on that next month.
All right.
All right.
All right, then. So I guess it's time to move on to talking about the anniversary, I guess. Did you guys enjoy visiting the Corgi King?
I love the Corgi so much.
What I especially love about it is that the different player effects will transfer to the Corgi. I definitely saw a Shadow Priest Corgi, and it had like the purple tint to it and everything.
Nice.
It's amazing.
I think one of the most popular additions to the anniversary this year is the overtuned Corgi goggles. Now, thankfully, this sells for 200 Time Warp badges, and this is exactly what you get with your anniversary gift. So you can go to the vendor in the library in the Stormwind Keep, purchase this, activate the toy into your toy box, and then activate the toy and corgify everything, I guess is the best way to put it. Everything becomes a corgi.
Well, not quite everything. If it's a friendly creature, then it does. Wandering through Dalaran, I'm like, is this thing broken? Did it bug out? Like, no, wait, these are all just all horde people.
Okay. But it turns a lot of stuff into that.
Yep.
It's really fun to see everyone as corgis on their mounts. It's really funny.
Oh, I didn't even think to look for that.
It's so good. Like, I went to Stormwind to answer the lore question and, you know, restock up on my wands. And someone was on, like, their griffin, and their corgi was running on top of it, and it was really cool.
Fresley just shared a picture of a red proto-drake, and looks like, I don't know what horse that is from the back, but a horse being ridden by corgis.
Yep.
That's great. Love it so much.
It is pretty awesome. The first thing I did was wander over to see Anduin, or should I say King Corgi, surrounded by his Corgi emissaries and ambassadors. And then I wandered over to Borealis, and man, there's a lot of pups over there.
I wonder, the Tortolan quest that has turtles making it to the water. Will they be corgs now?
Reported on already if it was going to be corgis. I think it would have been reported on already if they were corgis.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Nola will be a corgi.
Yes.
Yep.
I can report one thing that I found quite amusing. When you have that on and a Death Knight uses their Fel Rush with the wings.
You mean a Demon Hunter?
Demon Hunter, sorry. Corgi with wings.
That's awesome. I had it on, and then I put on my transmog mount, and your little NPCs on this side are corgis. And so they're like in their little box windows as corgis, and it's really...
Oh my god. I love this so much. little corgs everywhere. This is amazing.
Yes, if you are a corgi fan, this is the toy for you. If you're not a corgi fan, I'm sorry. Your Twitter timeline or your Facebook timeline is likely corgified.
I mean, really sorry.
On the plus side, like, you got 200 time walking tokens, so you can buy something else. Or time warp badges, whatever you want to call them.
This is true. That is an option for you. But you're also a horrible person, so you should just buy the core you think.
Hey, some people just don't like dogs, man.
And some people are right. I mean, yes, there's always two options there.
Yeah, you can play the game right, or you can play a paladin.
Ooh, shame. Says the person who's also leveling a paladin.
Hey.
Yep.
In that case, I'm just playing the paladin, not playing the game right.
Anyways, enough shade for this moment. You can also do daily quests to get additional badges from answering a trivia question like last year, as well as doing some bosses. You can do a Nightmare of Dragon Nightmare. You can do Azurgos and Lord Kazakh. That will, if you do all three of them, you'll get 50 more Time Warp badges and some XP or extra gold. You can use your bonus roll tokens on that. I recommend against that. And if you are wanting to do the originals quest, which is the Dragon's Nightmare, Azurgos, and Kazakh quest, just look in the custom section of Finder. You will find people willing to do that. One thing I learned, because I will admit I have not done group content out in the world so much this expansion, make sure that you're looking for the one that matches your war mode status, because apparently you can't join groups that allow you to see your people in those. So, did not know that. I now know that.
Sounds like you had some fun there.
I was quite confused that I couldn't see anybody else in my group who were looking at a dead Azurgos, and I was looking at a live Azurgos. So, yeah, good times. Good times. But, yeah, my advice, be prepared to die a few times, because those dragons of Nightmare, they are not fun. Just going to say, not fun at all. You can get loot. You don't need to use your roll coin on that, but you can definitely do that. And it's a lot of 350 loot if you're max level. If you aren't, you'll get slightly scaled down gear for your level. And it's just boosted versions of stuff that those dragons dropped before. So if you're looking for some T-Mog stuff, that's probably a pretty good idea for you. Or if you're looking for the superior or epic achievements for this expansion. That can help be helpful as well. So,
yep.
There you go. I don't think I missed anything else from the anniversary. Yeah, just enjoy. And Corgi forever.
All right, so let's get away from the anniversary stuff and bring us into the future a little bit with some information from patch 8.1. So, as we all know, there's a new Warfront being introduced in patch 8.1, and with that comes a whole bunch of new rewards. One thing they're adding in 8.1 is the Warfront Service Medal Vendor. So the Service Medal, both the 7th Legion and Honor Bound Service Medals, are rewards from Warfronts, as well as any of the Incursion World quests that will be added in the next patch. And you can use those tokens to get a variety of different rewards. More notable amongst those are 3 different mounts per faction. Wait, sorry. No, not 3. 2. There are 2 varieties of Krolusks being added in. One's the Azure Shell and one's the Ruby Shell. Guess which one is which in terms of which faction gets it. And there's also the Priestess's Moonsaber and the Bloodthirsty Dreadwing. Again, pretty obvious which faction gets what. Also, options from the vendor are 2 new pets. I believe they're called... No, it's not there for some reason. Hold on. What?
Why? They're called pets that Allie wants.
Yeah, there are 2 little dinosaurs. One's a green one, one's a red one. There are also some cloaks being added in as well. Looks to be just transmog gear. There's a fine crimson cloak and a royal blue cloak. Again, wild guess as to which faction gets what. Okay, so it's Trekker and Tanzil for the little dinosaur pets. There's also a new toy called the Glaive Tosser and a Blight Bomber. And there are different... what are those called again? An artifact here.
Heirlooms?
Heirloom gear.
Got your back.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So there are 5 different pieces of heirloom gear being added in. You'll be able to buy a cloak for 50 of the currency. And looks like there are a variety of trinkets for 100 currency. There's also something called a draft of 10 lands, which, hey, increases all stats by 20 and experience gained by 10%. Looks like that is a limited use item, so it doesn't say how long it lasts. It just says it's a 3-second cooldown, so I'm a little confused about that. I assume an hour. That's usually how those things go. So if you're interested in chasing any of these rewards, you'll be able to find the Warfront Service Medal vendor in your capital city on Boralus and Zul'Dazar. So yay, new stuff. New mounts to chase. I want a Krolesk. I want a Krolesk so bad.
It's going to be a good Warfront.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can't wait. And that Moonsaber looks really good too.
That'll be the first one I go for.
I think I'll go... I'm chasing the Krolesk first, I think. I started as a Night Elf, so I have a bunch of Moonsabers already. But those Krolesks, I don't have anything like that. It's just so disgusting, and I love it. I love it so much. Definitely chasing that.
So up next, we are going to talk about the second part of the BlizzCon Q&A. These are, as a lot of you know, the Blizzard Q&A was epic and amazing, and Ro got to lead it off. And then some guy named Chris Metzenina, whatever. People cried. It was great. And there were other people in line who didn't get their questions answered. So Blizzard went through and basically tried to answer those. So we have 8 different questions, a lot of info with it. I tried to kind of condense it down. The first one is asking about strategies for introducing new characters to the game and what their plans are for that. Blizzard explained that, and reminded us, because I've talked about this before, they plan expansions far in advance. They're really aware that they need to introduce new threats and new villains, and they have been. And they actually plan it so far in advance that they're able to put in, you know, clues and foreshadowing, kind of plant those seeds to kind of lead up to it. So it's not just all of a sudden, boom, here's a new baddie. You don't know why he's there. So, and that makes sense. If you think about the past, they have been doing that. Someone asked, when will the mobile app be completed? They explained, which I didn't know this, they had to actually rebuild that app from the ground up, which is why we don't have some of the features that they've talked about already. They are planning on including them in the next couple months. Well, next coming months. We don't know, you know, soon TM. And that's going to include social features like the guild and community chats, which will be awesome, as well as the calendar. Nothing about Action House. I think that's kind of done, but you never know. The next question is, do you plan on making more rep rewards account-wide? They've kind of talked about this before, but they mostly wanted to expand on it. They want characters to still have their individual progression, their own, you know, reputation goals. So they're not going to include everything, you know, when they're putting it all together. But the transmogs that are tied into these achievements, all toons will be able to have that. The ones that are tied into number of exalted reps, you know, they'll all have that. They've talked about that. What they haven't mentioned before, and I'm super excited about this, for the Champions of Azeroth rep, other toons are going to be able to have access to that Heart of Azeroth item level upgrade once you have a toon that's revered with Champions of Azeroth. So it's awesome. So for all of you who are leveling your alts right now and getting them up to 120, as long as your main is already revered with them, you're going to be able to start upgrading your neck right away, which is fantastic.
Yeah, because that's a significant upgrade too.
That's it's a huge deal. Yeah, there's been a number of times that's been like one of the few things holding my item level back, and as soon as I upgrade it, it like jumps up. So I'm really excited about that. They were asked about the future plans for the pet battling system. They didn't go into too much detail, but they did remind us that they're going to do a Nomragon pet battle dungeon. I'm sure Frasley is also going to explode and chat about that. It's going to come out in Tides of Vengeance. And they are going to be looking into the PvP pet battle system. They want to be able to give it a fresh look, kind of update it some. No real details on that yet, though. They were also asked, will gear return to the way it used to be, you know, pre-Warforged, Titanforge? They basically said unlikely. They like how the system works now. It adds a possibility of progression for those who are killing the same bosses over and over during raid progression or mythic runs or whatever it might be. And they want to keep that going, which it makes sense. The RNG of it doesn't always feel good, but it also makes sense that it kind of helps people to continue playing the content.
Yeah, because that was definitely a problem before that system was put into place. So like, okay, I have literally every piece of gear that I would absolutely want. Why would I continue playing right now?
Yeah, and that's basically what they were pointing out, and it makes sense.
And now you're not screwing over your raid guild when you're like, you know what? I got everything. I'm gonna level a baby hunter. Yeah, no.
Right. The next question is, why punish players with big gold cost reforge for the Azerite gear? They explain that they're trying to make Azerite gear more flexible. And pointed out that without at least some friction in that system, it would just kind of feel like the whole secondary stats thing and awkward and kind of useless in a way. So right. In Tides of Vengeance, they're going to provide one free reset, since they're going to be adding in a bunch of Azerite stats and talents and stuff. So that's cool. I think that helps.
Yeah.
They're also going to double the rate at which the respect cost decays. So basically, it's going to go down 50% every 24 hours. I forget what the rate of decay is right now.
Judging by, I haven't actually respect any gear as regular, but judging by that statement, I'm guessing it takes about 2 days for that to decay.
Maybe. I've only done a couple of respects.
Yeah.
I know how much it goes up by.
Yeah. But a lot.
Well, and that's why a lot of people are doing secondary gear sets, you know, instead of respecking. Like, I have Shadow and Holy, so I'm just doing secondary. I'm not going to spend all that gold. I don't have the gold anyways.
Yeah, yeah. I found myself doing that too. Like, okay, well, this is good for when I'm questing around solo. This is good for if I ever decide to jump back into raiding. I have the gear, so I'm not going to be holding people back too much. Yeah, it's definitely a problem.
When I don't doubt for especially high-end mythic raiders who really have to min-max everything to a fine detail, I'm sure, you know, they probably do more respecking than some of us.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it still helps, and good on them for working on making that system feel better. So we have two more questions. How will they motivate mythic raiders to raid when Keystone gear can actually Titanforge higher? And they pointed out that basically parallel endgame item progression is something they've been striving for a while. And that each of those paths have their own unique benefits. I don't know how much that actually answered the question, but I mean, that is very true.
I mean, by the sounds of it, I mean, it looks like their soul, what they want to go towards is like, you're not necessarily being tied to a specific level of play. You know, if you want to get the best gear available, you have to raid. You can't just bank on Mythic Plus anymore. That's kind of
right.
That's kind of how things have. Sorry, that's they want to avoid that happening. So now each different playstyle will give you roughly equivalent gear, depending on how far you're pushing that playstyle. But the big draw is going to be those extra things, achievements, titles, mounts. Because I mean, when you think about it, we've been able to get different mounts and stuff for doing really good in PvP for quite a while now. And that's kind of been the big thing, right? People are struggling for Gladiator or whatever.
It. Yeah. And for some people, they may not have the guild or the group of friends or whatever to do a raid, and they don't want to pug. So for them, following that path of doing five mans is better.
Yeah, so. And that way, if they do end up finding that group, they're not gonna be held back by their less than ideal gear. Exactly. They're gonna have the gear available to them to push that content if they find themselves with the chance to do so.
See, the problem is that the what they say here is ideal. That is the ideal. However, as with everything, there will always be that what's the best thing, and there will always be the need for people to push for that best thing. In this case, where can you get the best gear? That's where you need to focus on. You know, you have an hour a day. What are you going to do? The thing that can give you second best or the thing you do the best? You know, if you are pushing for the highest gear, the best gear, that has to be your goal. I appreciate their ideal, but this is not going to be, it's not going to be a thing that ideal is the actual reality. The ideal is what they'd like to see. Reality is what gives you the best. Okay, that's what you're going to do.
Yep. I mean, it's always going to be. Yeah. Like there was a time that they actually said they didn't want people mid-maxing, but and so they were trying to balance stats so people wouldn't do that.
But and they just homogenized everyone
mid-maxing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's still going to be mid-maxing in that, like always.
I mean, yeah, trying to eliminate mid-maxing from a game like this that's very stat-dependent is never going to happen.
Yeah,
because I mean, there are the people with those mindsets and the people who, for the content they want to push, they absolutely need to worry about squeezing every last stat out. I mean, that's not something you can avoid. So I'm glad that they've kind of accepted that. They're like, okay, well, here's just a bunch of gear that across different end games that will probably help you do better with that specific set of content, or it'll still be good. It just won't be the best for another piece of content.
So our last question is: how do you plan to accommodate new players who are overwhelmed by content? Which is true. Can you imagine being a new player stepping into the game right now, having 14 years of content to do?
Oh, man. It's...
Yeah. It's exciting, but also overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had somebody at work dabbled in WoW during vanilla, but she didn't get too much into it. But she started picking up again recently. One of the things she said is, like she's doing all this reading about what to do or what content to look at. She's level 26, I think. And she's going all over the place trying to do everything and experience everything. And like, I don't know how she's managing to not get overwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing since Burning Crusade, and there's still things that I want to do and have had the time to do. So what they're working on is taking a fresh look at the new player experience. It's a long-term project for them, though. They have no immediate plans outside of character boost, but it's important to them, and they want to give that welcome to those new players, have it be a good one and a positive one, and to help it feel less overwhelming. Because the thought of going from 0 to 120 alone is a lot.
Yeah.
And I do think with their leveling changes coming in 8.1, that's going to help a lot with it.
Absolutely. But it doesn't detract from the fact that you tell somebody picking up the game for the first time, like, okay, you got a bunch of this content to go through. By the way, you have to level up to 120.
If you'd like to group up
with us, and that's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard barrier to jump over. And, you know, we, as people who've been playing the game for years, know it's not actually that bad. But for them, looking at the game for the first time, they're going to see 120. Like, oh, I don't know if I have time for this. Which, you know, begs the question, like, why are you playing an MMO? But still. I don't know how they could make it easier. I think this is something that I mentioned leading into Battle for Azeroth. One thing that I think would help is doing not just a stat squish, like squishing the levels down.
Yeah, because I remember there's been some chat about that here and there and people asking for that.
Yeah, I honestly think that's going to be the best way to do it. Yeah, it's going to suck for those of us who've been playing for however many years, logging out one day at 120 and logging in, you'll go, I'm level 40 now or something like that.
Maybe they can do like Paragon levels or something like that.
I mean, Paragon, essentially what we're getting now with these different endgame progressions, you know, be it artifact gear or in the previous expansion with artifact weapons, that was essentially a Paragon system. Because, especially in Battle for Azeroth, we didn't get any new abilities leveling from 110 to 120. There's nothing new added there. All of our progression in terms of player power was, leveling up, we gained some stats. But most of what we were concentrating on was on Azeroth gear. And yeah, Gil makes a good point in chat. You know, when you buy the game, you get a character 10 levels behind max, which is great. I'm not taking away from that. But throwing somebody into the game at that height in the level, there's going to be a steep learning curve for them. And, you know, the tutorials or whatever that they put you through when you're boosting a tune, that's going to help them a little bit. I'm not taking away from that either. But it's still a steep learning curve, and I think slowing that down a little bit and, you know, squishing those levels down so that content is not as daunting and people are more willing to put the time in to do it, would help with that problem.
Yeah, it would. I'm thankful that I'm not Blizzard and I don't have to make these decisions. Yeah. But I'm sure they'll make the right.
I mean, yeah, absolutely, Gil, I agree. Giving up 120 levels is not going to be a good feeling. I don't know what else they could do, though, outside of Paragon and whatever they're doing now.
Definitely a hard choice to make, for sure.
So we talked about BlizzCon. We talked about some more BlizzCon stuff. You know, AfterCon stuff. There's some more AfterCon stuff that the ticket buyers got this in the past week.
Yes. I assume you would have more information than I have on this, but at least part of the survey that is sent out to BlizzCon ticket holders asked a few questions that lead to some very interesting considerations for what might be coming up as add-ons to a BlizzCon ticket. Now, have you gotten your survey, or did you not get one as a press one?
I have not gotten one for the personal or the media one.
Okay. So,
oh wait, no, I got it today.
Okay. So what I'm kind of wondering is what other questions there were on the survey, because this is, I assume, a very small part of the survey. But what was asked here is, how interested are you in purchasing the following items as an addition to a BlizzCon ticket? And the range is from definitely not interested to definitely interested. And I kind of want to go through and have each of us answer this. So the first one is a BlizzCon behind-the-scenes tour. How interested would you be in that, Allie?
I'd be pretty interested, honestly. I think that'd be really cool.
What about you, Toasty?
That's tough. That would be really cool to see. But I think my priorities are definitely elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the middle.
That's where I put it as well. I think it'd be interesting to see, but it's not something that I'd pay a lot of money to see. The next one is more private developer interaction. And this is what I feel is not as informative as I'd like it to be. Like, are we talking private panels that aren't on the virtual ticket? Are we talking like one-on-one discussions with developers? Which, if that was the case, that would have to be a very high-priced item, I would think. What do you think, Toasty?
I would imagine it'd be similar to the smaller press events that they do.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that makes logistically the most sense.
Yeah, and you already get that as somebody who's got a press badge.
Yeah, but like if I didn't, that would be something I'm interested in. I mean, I'm not necessarily to ask the questions, because I'm really bad at figuring out questions to ask, but just to hear the questions other people have to ask.
Yeah. How about you, Ellie?
I think it would be really interesting and great. I wouldn't wish that upon the developers until the community can be nicer to them, personally.
I would imagine those questions would be highly vetted.
I can't even imagine if those poor people had to do it for Diablo Immortal this last one. Unfortunately, the toxic voices are louder right now, so I wouldn't wish it upon them. But personally, I would love it. I think that would be really cool. How about you, Medros?
When I had a press badge, actually, it was the first year that I went. I didn't have a press badge that year, but I was invited to basically what Toasty went through this year, which is a Q&A session with Jay Allen Brack and Ian and some other people. Ro might know, he was there as well. That was a lot of fun for me. It was very interesting to hear that. To get those questions and not have to wait in line for those questions to be answered. So very, very good. I really enjoyed that. Would I pay for that? Probably not, because like people in the chat room said, the press do a better job with that kind of access than an average player could, I think. And Diablo Immortal this year definitely showed that the player base is not always the most even keeled.
So the next one is reserved seating for panels and esports events. I'm going to go with definitely interested. 100%. Because Overwatch World Cup, getting right up there would be really cool. Some of the panels, also fantastic. That's definitely something I would pay for.
I honestly don't follow esports that closely. So personally, I would not go for that one.
But they said panels and esports. So like any of the individual panels, would that be something you'd be interested in?
Point. I'd be semi-interested. They have some pretty cool panels. So it would probably depend on what this extra cost would be.
For me, yeah, definitely not a thing. No, I've been to several panels. I've had various seating. Never really felt like I was lacking in good seating. They've now spread out even the opening ceremony, so not even that is something that's really, really needed. The only thing I can think of where this might be a thing for me is the concert, and any concert I would actually want to see, I'm not really going to be sitting a lot. And I had, like, against the cement barriers viewing for Metallica when I went, so... and Weird Al, I didn't need a front row seat. He wasn't a people pressing against each other to get closer type performer. Now, here's one, and I suspect I know what most of the answers on this is going to be here. Blizzard Campus Tour in Irvine, California.
Yes, queen.
Like, this would be my number one. I've never been to BlizzCon. I'm aiming to go next year. So a lot of these sound great to me. But if I were to pick just one, that one would be my choice.
Oh my god, the campus is amazing. So good.
So, I'm probably going to surprise you. Depends. I enjoyed having somebody that knew the campus and could tell us details about the campus, but I felt the person who did our tour, no insult to him, he did a really good job, and I really appreciate that he did that for us. So, you know, tip my hat and much thanks to that to Jared for doing that. But I would have almost preferred a CM or developer, and I suspect that this offer would not be done by somebody who is in that kind of a role. I assume they would hire somebody to give formal tours, and I don't feel that person would know Blizzard Campus as well and would probably not have the access that I'd want. One thing that I felt really suffered is there's a lot of areas that are right before BlizzCon that are closed off, so you can't go in a lot of places because of possibly seeing in development stuff, possibly seeing stuff that's being announced in a day or two, which definitely affected the access that I'd have. Would I love a campus tour of Blizzard in January? Totally. Because I feel there'd be more access there. And part of the stuff was my own unfortunate sadness, because there's people that I would have liked to have seen while I was there on that tour that I couldn't. Or I forgot to reach out to say, hey, I'm doing a tour. I'd love to hang out with you and say hi while I'm on my tour. And literally, I posted a picture of a statue that was literally on the other side of a wall from a friend of mine that works at Blizzard. When I posted it, the person saw it, like, literally as we were driving out the gates on our way back to Anaheim. So it was like, I would have loved to have said hi. Now, I said hi to that person at the con, so that wasn't a bad thing, but there's definitely a caveat for my answer on this of, okay, what are we going to see? What's the offer going to be? Because that's almost as much or almost as important as the cost is. But definitely, I see this as being one of those really popular offerings, because like I know at least a dozen people this year who want to get a tour of Blizzard and didn't have a chance. They kind of reserve those tours for certain groups of people who are, I'm not saying a higher level person, but a more notable person in the community versus just a person who's out to see the con. This one here, I definitely see as being one of the most popular and one that I could definitely see them charging $100 extra for. And there's people who would absolutely pay $100 for a tour of Blizzard, whether it be a group or just a person. Like, Ali, you're the one of us who hasn't been on a tour of Blizzard. What would you pay for a tour of campus?
I think $100 would feel pretty fair. I don't know if I personally could justify that after the ticket and hotel and everything. But like, if I knew like ahead of time that that was going to be an option and I could save up even more, then yeah, I think $100 would be fair. Maybe it's hard to really say since I haven't done it yet.
The two of us have done it. It is awesome.
Oh, the library alone. And the museum.
The museum, that was the first place we went, right? Right after we started our tour, right?
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Blizzard as a company and their history, the museum you could spend an hour in. Just examining everything, reading everything, checking out everything. The library, you could spend a week. I mean, and it's not even like a library of Blizzard stuff. It's stuff that's influenced them, stuff that they've used to learn, books on coding, books on art, inspiration. Like, it is anybody who's looking to get into game dev, like, just pitch a tent in the library and spend a week there to be immersed in awesome. Like, it's just that awesome. It is, that alone is worth the time, in my opinion. Given the right circumstances, I'd absolutely pay $100 for another tour of the campus. I'd hope I wouldn't have to. But that's just a bit of ego, I guess. More private esports pro interaction. Toasty, what do you think?
Go in the realm of, like, might or might not be interested, surprisingly. I feel like something like that would probably be, like, a more in-depth interaction. And honestly, all I'm looking for when I'm meeting those guys is just to say hi. I'm a fan. And that's about it. That's remarkably easy to come across when you're at BlizzCon. Like, I went to a random party at the Sheridan, and it was just full of Overwatch League players. So I got to have, you know, quick interactions with those guys. So, yeah. Somewhere right in the middle.
How about you, Allie?
That wouldn't be the most important thing for me personally, so I would probably pass. Because I would be saving up all my money for the...
All right. So next question. Quick queue / fast pass for demo stations. I forgot to answer that one. Not interested. Esports is not my game. Team Canada's awesome in Overwatch World Cup, but I don't know players enough, so esports stuff is not really my thing. And I would say for demo stations, not really interested in that either. And I really feel like this question is kind of a, do we want to Disney-fy BlizzCon? And my answer is not really. Like, I don't want quick queues and fast passes. And there's so many times where you can just be patient and wait for the right time and you can get in without any wait at all, that I don't feel like it's really worth it for me. What about you, Toasty?
I mean, honestly, some of the better memories I have of BlizzCon is just standing in line and talking to the people around me and geeking out with everybody. Yeah, there's that. You'd be missing out on that, but there are definitely times where I wouldn't have minded getting in there a little bit faster, so I'll go with someone interested.
Allie?
I'll have to go with Toasty on this one. I would imagine that I wouldn't mind waiting in line, and either waiting in line with a friend and talking to them anyways, or just talking to the people around me and just enveloping myself in that community. Yeah. And the demos are great. I would definitely want to play them, but it's not the main reason I'm there. So I don't mind waiting in line if it's the one that I really want to experience.
Yeah, the first four BlizzCons I was at, I just went, you know, general admission or whatever, right? So I was waiting in line with everybody else. When I'm at BlizzCon, more often than not, you're going to find me by myself. Like, I'll stop and talk with other people or whatever, but usually I'm wandering the con floor by myself because that's just how I do. And getting to meet all the people in lines from all over the world with different experiences of the game, like, there's something great about that. And I just love it so much.
I kind of feel like I wasted my last one because I was doing a lot of pin trading.
I could have done better things with my time.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's your thing, right? Everybody goes to BlizzCon with a different thing in mind of what they want to do. Talking with people and pin training is something that's right up your alley? Then whatever.
Yeah. All right. Professional photo pass.
If it's with Matt Mercer, Laura Bailey, Liam O'Brien, or any of the voice actors, yes. Definitely interested. 100%. Maybe 120.
So if it was is the BlizzCon version of Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, like known quantities, people that are recognizable that you'd want to have your picture taken with, you would definitely consider that.
Oh, yeah.
I personally enjoy bringing my own photographer. His name's Robert. He's a really good photographer, and he's really good at getting good pictures. But definitely the access to the person for me would be the key thing. Like the pictures.
Robert's great. Robert is fantastic, but you have to worry about running into those people.
Yes. And some of the best pictures I have from BlizzCon's past is Greg Street, Chris Metzen, Mike Morheim, major figures that have had such a huge impact on my enjoyment of World of Warcraft and Blizzard's games. You know, the access, it would be the key thing that I would be willing to pay for, but I'd also have to say, like, I'm so sorry for you. You have to be doing this. I don't think they want to spend their entire time standing there as picture after picture is taken of them with a person. But they enjoy meeting people. So, you know, would Mike Morheim spend a couple hours at BlizzCon taking pictures with people? Would Chris Metzen, if he was there, take pictures with people? They absolutely would. They have done it so many times, it's not even funny. They are used to that by now. Jalen Brack will get used to that. This would definitely be a very interesting option. I'm curious to see how they'd implement it and what level of stuff. It's a very, very interesting option. I would definitely consider it. I don't know that I'd be more than somewhat interested, though. It really depends on scheduling and stuff like that. And the people that I want to get pictures with may have lines that would basically take me 3 hours to get through if I got through them at all. So that's my concern.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you want to take a look at the survey after the show and we can talk more about that next week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
And if anything about bands, I'm just like, okay, we're all the country. No. No, 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 no. Hell no.
Totally know that would be yes for me.
Do you get the survey as a virtual ticket holder?
Nope. Or I never got it anyway. Let me check my email, though, to get it. We have this email. Did it come from Blizzard, right?
Yeah. It's from BlizzCon, actually.
Oh, BlizzCon.com, right?
Sorry. Blizzard Entertainment.
Did they do one last year? I feel like they did?
They do one every year. It's just, I don't recall if they sent one out to the virtual ticket holders last year. Let me see here.
I mean, one of the questions on the survey is, did you attend in person? I imagine some virtual ticket holders get it.
I did not get that. So, and I'm not seeing anything from last year asking me for my opinion on BlizzCon. Share my adventure. No, okay, this is that's pre.
So virtual ticket holders in the chat room, Zeph specifically, did get one.
Okay.
So they might send it out in waves too.
True. Zeph, if you can share me the email that came from, I'd really appreciate that. Because even, like, is it just a blizzard.com email address that one came from? Yeah, I'm not seeing anything this year from Blizzard. I'm only seeing ads for stuff, so not seeing it at all. So maybe I didn't get one, I guess.
You still might.
Maybe. I don't really want my opinion anyway, so. Mine would be very different from Toasty's. And I don't know if Toasty wants me to give my opinion, so.
No, I'm going to give my own opinion.
I'm not even going to touch that.
No country.
Country. Metal. Country. All right. So we'll talk more about that next week. Once Toasty's had a chance to go through his email about that.
All right. In the meantime, Black Friday. It's that time of year again, everybody. And as expected, Blizzard has quite a selection of Black Friday sales available for us. Keep in mind, a good chunk of it is just Overwatch League. There are various things from the different franchises, though. So we've got some of the Diablo glasses, some of the books are available there. If you did not get the goodie bag, you can get that. Although it's worth noting, it's listed at $55 or $45 if you had the virtual ticket, which is the same price. Which is really confusing because there's a category for $20 goodie bag, but it's definitely just, you know, the full price. They've got a bunch of the World of Warcraft merch. There's some of the dresses that some of our viewers might enjoy. Viewers, listeners.
I want the Heroes mug. I really want the Heroes mug.
That's a nice looking mug. They've got a whole set of leggings. Horde leggings. Alliance leggings. Bunch of other leggings. All the leggings.
How many leggings?
All of them. Did you hear them?
Oh, all of them. Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to just control F. Leggings. 13.
Oh, okay. So not quite all.
But a good selection of them.
Yes.
There was legitimate conversation at work about somebody buying some of those leggings. And it wasn't the one girl in our WoW channel talking about buying them.
Well, technically, if you're talking about pants, there's even more than that because there's a bunch of Overwatch League joggers, which are sweatpants.
Yeah, I bought gladiators.
Of course, you did.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of gladiator stuff. All the gladiator stuff, well, not all of it. There's some that I just missed for some reason. In terms of World of Warcraft, let's see what we got here. Scroll back not up.
Stein, which makes
no Stein.
Although it makes sense, it's worth the 50.
So, franchise, World of Warcraft. There are 38 World of Warcraft items. Bunch of leggings, bunch of dresses. You can buy the Snowfight and Warcraft Tale book for $9. They've also got just a bunch of books for around $9.
If anyone wants to get Fandeth, the Alliance toddler shirt, or, you know, any other of the baby clothes, I'm sure that he'd appreciate that for his little one.
The World of Warcraft backpack is on there, as is the World of Warcraft Azeroth sweater. The Collector's Edition is on there for a discounted price of $69.99.
Yeah, 30 bucks off.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of books, a bunch of sweaters. The World of Warcraft Travel Mug is on there for a deeply discounted price of $5.
So Ali, I have to ask, Tyrande or Sylvanas skater dress?
Isn't that really my style? So I probably wouldn't get either.
Fair enough.
If I had to pick, and it's hard because the Sylvanas one looks really cool, even though I'm Alliance. Having said that, the Tyrande one kind of speaks to me because that robe in game, or what looks similar to that robe in game, is one of my main transmogs for my priest. So I'd probably lean towards that one.
That's fair.
Plus
Alliance, you know.
I mean, if you want to go Warcraft adjacent stuff, there are 14, currently 14 items under Hearthstone. One more set of leggings. The cookbook, the Hearthstone cookbook, is on sale for $5.50.
I've heard good things about that book, yeah, actually.
I have a copy of that on my desk because Fandeth lent it to me.
Have you used it yet?
I've used a couple. It's been a while. Yeah, I've had that book for a long time.
Does Fandeth know you've had it for a long time?
I assume so, because I mean, I don't go out of my way to hide it at work.
Is he going to write it down after he listens?
What's that?
So it's at work, not at your desk at home.
Right.
Okay.
I just make a list of all the stuff. When it comes to borrowed books, especially, I'm very careful with them.
Yeah. If you're a pin collector, pin binder, carrying case is 50% off, which is a really good deal. It's down to 25 from 50. The Colossal Arthas figure CBD is down 75%, down to $13.75. The Diablo one is not so cheap. It's only half off, but it's still a pretty good deal.
A whole bunch of stuff from Blizzard's gear store. That sale runs until November 19th. Until November 30th.
Say, today?
Yeah.
Started today.
It runs until November 30th at 11:59 PST. And I wish I knew that sooner. or realize that sooner, because I definitely bought a bunch of stuff today that was hard to afford.
Discount codes are good.
Yeah. Oh, well, I have it. And come payday, I'm ordering some more stuff. Because I just did not see some of it.
Yeah, they are definitely going all in on merch for Overwatch League.
All the Overwatch League stuff from Season 1 is on here.
Yeah, the lanyards are down to $1.50 for Overwatch League teams. Some really good deals.
We have to buy the gladiators glass, too. Actually, $4 each. I might just buy a whole set. No, man. No, toasty. Bad toasty. I'm short on cupboard space as it is.
You get magnets. $2 each.
There we go. I want some room on the fridge.
All right. Keychains?
Stop it. No more.
Shirts? Hats? More hats?
One should buy it a little toasty.
I mean, I do want to buy it all.
I'm just being cruel.
Yeah, Ro, I bought so much Gladiator stuff. I bought about $50 worth of stuff, like sale price. And I missed the scarf and the jacket, so I'm going to buy the jacket too. Otherwise, anything Gladiator's, like, clothing-wise, I bought.
All right. Well, if you are looking for some discounted Blizzard stuff, get your shopping in now. I'm sure some of that stuff will sell out as time goes on, so get there before it's too late. All right, let's pay another bill.
All right. So, our second sponsor is the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This week, I chose what I felt was an appropriate book, considering The Crimes of Grindelwald just came out last week. So today, we're going to look at Harry Potter, A History of Magic. Let's have a listen.
So let's begin by following the journey of a boy called Harry, the boy who became the most famous wizard in the world, the boy who lived. We'll start with a little scrap of paper, the first Harry Potter reader report, written by Alice Newton, aged 8. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone had been rejected by 8 publishers. When the manuscript landed at Bloomsbury, it was possibly its last chance. The Bloomsbury editorial staff presented the first 3 chapters of the story to their colleagues in the form of a scroll. The chief executive of Bloomsbury, Nigel Newton, took this scroll home, but instead of settling down and reviewing it himself, gave it to one of his most trusted readers. She wrote him a report that changed the face of publishing.
So once again, that was Harry Potter, A History of Magic, narrated by Natalie Dormer, written by Pottermore Publishing and Ben Davies. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
And let's move on to our question of the week. Question of the week from last week was, which of the mounts being added in 8.1 are you going to be chasing? Wookie BH says, none unless I fall off while riding them. But seriously, Hive Mind is awesome. Frasley says, 8.1 has a new Hive Mind model data mined, so it has to be that.
Apparently it's a trend. Another Seems trend. So. Zeph says, the bee, because I am the queen bee of blogging. Captorian says, speaking words of wisdom, get the bee. So we got some bee lovers.
Fanda says, do I need to log into WoW to chase them out? That might be my first problem. The Hive Mind would be pretty awesome to get. So unique. Also interested in the Jazara lore Windreaver. That might be a few expansions out for me, though. And Crazy Balderon says, I gotta go with the Saltwater Seahorse. That's the first entrant for Saltwater Seahorse.
Yes. Yeah,
but they also follow up with, though the bee would be cool as well. So let's see, we've got 3 Hive Minds and 3 bees. Well, or 2 bees.
Like two, however, two and however half. You,
yeah, 2.5 bees. So our question for next week is: what developer would you like to have a one-on-one? Would you like to have one-on-one time with? And what would be your first question? I know one that I do regularly have interactions with at BlizzCon, and I know my question to him every time I see him. That's Taryn Gregory. How did he do it again? Because like just a punch in the gut with every cinematic lately, it seems. What about you guys?
My first thought was Holinka, because I'm excited for him to be back, and I'd be curious to see how he felt about WoW during the time he was like kind of on the outside looking in. But now that you mentioned Taryn Gregory, I'm going to have to go with him, because everything I have heard and read about his interactions or seen his interactions with people on Discord, I think he is the one I would have the most fun talking to. And he seems very personable, and I want to give him a hug. And I probably would ask him why he is so amazing at cinematics.
What about you, Midras?
I think I'd like to talk to Ian Hazzikostas, and I would probably ask him what the turnaround and what the expectation is for feedback that forces a significant change from what they have planned. Because there are... They said it repeatedly. It is something they plan long way out for stuff coming in WoW. And, you know, what is the process like if they realize that something they have planned is just not going to work? And how long can it take for that plan to be changed, refined, and brought out with as a new idea? Because I'm really curious about the process of things. Alternatively, since Ian Hazzikostas is quite busy, I'd love to talk to whoever took over for Chris Metzen. I honestly don't even know where I'd start. Probably with how big were those shoes to fill and what has been your greatest challenge. That's just me.
That's good. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing everybody else's answers, because this could lead to some very interesting ones, I think.
I agree. All right. So now time for shout-outs. Ellie, let's start with you.
You gotta start with me, man. Gosh.
Yep.
Shout-out to... See, I'm gonna have to work on this as a co-host to actually have these prepared.
Oh, do them live. Don't... I literally never have them prepared. Don't worry about it.
I want to give a shout-out to our chat in Discord, who is being super active and involved tonight, and it makes me feel very supportive and supported, and I love you guys.
Toasty?
I'm going to give a shout-out to a group of people that I met while I was at BlizzCon, who I've continued to talk with for quite some time, since I got back, in their Discord. The fine people over at Club Tito's. Oh my god, you guys are amazing people. And I've been having a lot of fun talking with all of you about anything. And I do mean anything and everything.
Everything, huh?
Oh, that's for after the show.
All right. My shout out is going to be to longtime listener Poikle Satin, who this week lost her husband. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of all of our listeners when I say that our thoughts go out to you. I'm not sure if or when you'll listen to this, but my thoughts and our thoughts are with you and your family. I'm not sure the details of what happened, but we're with you and we support you. So hopefully everything is going to be okay for you guys. I know I'm always bringing us down, aren't I?
No, you know, that's caring.
Yeah.
That's definitely rough.
All right. Outro then, I guess. Oh, all right. Before we do that, just a reminder, we do have the Battle for Azeroth Collector's Edition contest still going on. You can enter that for a little while still, so definitely do that if you are able to, and the contest closes on the 2nd of December, and we will look forward to giving one out away soon. 13 days to go.
Oh my god, only 13 days. Jeez.
Yeah, November has cruised by. Hey, by the way, happy Thanksgiving to everyone in the States. Eat lots of good food and have lots of good time with family.
And to everybody else in the world, happy Thursday.
And we're thankful for you.
And I'm just amused that I had Christmas dinner before most Americans have their Thanksgiving. Always ahead of the curve. Except in raids.
Mendro Snorri already knows this, but there was one year I went up and visited Gildies in Ontario for their Thanksgiving. So that year I had two Thanksgivings and it was magical.
Oh man. I remember one year I had at least two. Because I did my family one at my parents' place. And I took my brother's kids to their mom's family for their Thanksgiving dinner. I feel like there might have been one more, but then it might have just been a bunch of family at the house. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was a sleepy weekend.
All right. Well, let's do our tour then.
All right. So if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATAL-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Mandros. Ali is at AliandrusK. I am at ToastyPostyCan. And you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And do not forget about Fandeath. He's still out there. You can follow him at Fandeath. You can join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
Indeed, and we'll be back next time. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of wherever corgis.
So are the corgis unleashed now?
Apparently.
Cool.
I see them everywhere.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.